It has probably not escaped your attention that today is Columbus Day. At least it is here in Boston. In Seattle and Minneapolis, it's Indigenous Peoples Day. Those two cities join a growing list of places choosing to draw attention on this day to the people who were here first. People who didn't always get the best treatment from those of us who came later, and that's putting it mildly. With that in mind, I want to tell you about a book I've been reading. It's called The Lost Tribe of Coney Island. Written by Claire Prentice, it tells the story of a group of Igorot tribespeople who were brought here from the Philippines and put on display at Coney Island nearly a century ago. Why? Well, that's a question for Claire Prentice.
They fascinated the American public. They were thrilled and scandalized by the fact they wore hardly any clothes, just G-strings. Their bodies were covered with tattoos. They ate dogs. That in the Philippines they hunted the heads of their enemies, and at Coney Island they performed a distorted version of their tribal customs.
I was going to say, if you bought a ticket to this show at Coney Island, what did you see when you walked in the tent?
Okay, so you paid a quarter, and you were treated to a show of singing. They would play their native instruments, tom-tom drums, gongs. They did headhunting dances. They performed sham battles. They held weddings, funeral rites. But the most popular feature of all was the dog feast. Now, in the Philippines, they would typically have eaten dog on special occasions, at weddings, funerals. At Coney Island, people came wanting to see them eat dogs. So there was a dog feast every single day.
Where were they getting the dog from? Did they bring it from the Philippines, or were they killing dogs in the United States?
They came from the pound. So the New York pound would supply them with enough dogs to eat each day.
Are you kidding?
So they had this elaborate feast. The dogs were brought out. They were slaughtered before the public, who looked on in fascination and horror. They would slit the dog's throat, chop off its tail, singe its hair over a fire, then cook it into bits, throw it in a pot, and then eat it before the public. And this was regarded as just, you know, incredible entertainment.
As I read this, I kept thinking of the story of the Hottentot Venus, which you must have come across while doing research. Mm. She was a woman from South Africa. Sarah Bartman was her real name. And she was kind of wheeled out in a similar freak show context in London 2 years after slavery was outlawed there. But the Igorots were brought to the U.S. 100 years later, and you'd think that things had become a little more civilized in the world. How big an appetite was there in the U.S. for staring basically at Filipino natives?
A huge appetite. And I should point out, this wasn't just an American thing. The human zoos, as we know them today, were a hugely popular and widespread form of entertainment across America and Europe and Japan. You know, it was much like going to the movies today in that everybody did it. It wasn't a kind of particular or shameful form of entertainment. It was mass entertainment. And there was a huge appetite for it throughout the 19th century and the early 20th century, until the 1930s, when it began to fall out of fashion. And, you know, I think it just stemmed from a fascination with people who are different from ourselves. There's just a deep human desire to gaze at other people who are different.
I suspect you've been to Coney Island a few times. If you go there, what do people remember of the Igorot? So what is their legacy there?
Do you know, surprisingly little. The extent to which the story had been forgotten really surprised me. It was in Coney Island that I first came across the story. I had been living in New York working as a journalist, and I've long had a fascination with Coney Island, the kind of Coney Island's heyday. And I had taken a day trip out there, and while I was there, I stumbled across an old black and white photograph of the tribespeople with very little in the way of information about who they were. I began by asking around in Coney what people knew of them, and there was surprisingly little known about them. And I guess they were one of many weird and wonderful and outlandish attractions that were at Coney at the time.
Yeah. And in the Philippines, do Filipinos know the story? And has it affected how they see the U.S.?
Yeah, the story isn't as well known as you might expect in the Philippines. I've spoken to people there who do know about it. And there's as far as some people are concerned, it's a horrible, awful story that they don't want to think about. I've had quite a few people reach out to me since writing this book who are Igorot living in the Philippines and also in America, saying that this was a story they'd never heard of and that they're, delighted that the story is out there and that somebody has done the research. And, you know, they're just fascinated by their own history and the fact that this story isn't more widely known.
You know, you said, Claire, that this is an important story, an important one to tell, and it strikes me that, one of the reasons it is important to go back to the Hottentot Venus, I mean, she was kind of one of these victims of colonialism and the cultures that colonialism unearthed in these kind of sensationalistic ways. Was this story of the Igorots kind of some weird chapter in America's colonial adventures in the Philippines?
Very much so, yeah. This was something that came about because of America's desire to promote its policies in the Philippines. That's why groups of Igorots and other tribespeople were exhibited across the country. And, you know, I think it's a subject that is very interesting to us. I also think it's important that we do look at this. And it might be uncomfortable for us to look at this and to look at the part our country's played in exhibiting people in this manner. But I think it's important that we do so.
Claire Prentice, the author of The Lost Tribe of Coney Island. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
In case you were wondering, the Igorots were not captured. They came to the U.S. willingly because they were promised payment. Key word there, promise, but that's another story. And you can read it right now. We've got an excerpt from Claire Prentice's book online. It is a great read, and it's at PRI.org.